And good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, May the 23rd, 2018. 17 minutes past the hour, almost Memorial Day weekend. Just a couple more days, and then it'll be the big three-day weekend, the big official start of summer. It is Wednesday, and as we do each and every Wednesday from 12:10 until 1 p.m., we invite in psychic Barbara Wagner. And Barbara, last week we had a few calls, and I believe after you left, somebody had called in the following hour. So if you've been wondering and wanting to call in and talk to Barbara about somebody who's no longer here, love life, whatever you want to ask, feel free. 740-383-9944. If the phone line rings busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. But right now, the lines are open. So give us a call. 740-383-9944. Barbara, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you. Memorial Day coming up.
Right.
Is that a heavy duty time for people who are no longer here? Or do they care?
Yeah, no, they do care because it's an opportunity for them to make contact and try to direct us to put our focus and our attention on them and messages they want to leave for us. So, you know, you may connect with, you know, certain numbers, butterflies, rainbows, different things like that. You know, Memorial Day is specific to our men and women in service. So I would ask that we honor those people with prayer. If you're so inclined to do that, that would be amazing because it really does help on the other side. But yeah, they love it when they're honored, military or non-military, our loved ones in spirit, they like that.
You know, I've been asked this a lot. Do people, once they die, do they go and visit their grave?
No, they stay with you. So if you go visit the grave, they're with you.
See, I think that would be, if I had died, I don't know that I would want to see the grave.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's personal to everybody, right? I know I always had the feeling before I even started doing this type of work that that's not really where my loved one is. You know, that's just their physical remains. And so they really aren't attached to what we do with their physicality once they've left, other than just to acknowledge, you know, that you did something nice, whatever that is.
I noticed that there are less people doing this now. It's almost become something forgotten.
You mean as far as decorating, burying them, yeah, and then going to the grave, yeah, and then doing, yeah, things. Part of it is the way we structure our time with society. We feel like we're really too busy to do a lot of things. I'm putting that in air quotes because it's all about what your priorities are. Just so the listening audience understands, you don't get dinged for not going to the grave. You know, they don't hold that against you or anything like that. It just doesn't work like that on the other side. It's all about love and loving you and sometimes trying to make amends for what they did here in the physical.
Well, a lot of problem with this that I noticed was everybody's buried in a different place.
Right.
Sometimes different cities.
Right.
And then each cemetery has their own rules.
Right.
And, you know, it's very complicated. To visit, okay, I guess I could do that. But I'm not sure that that serves any purpose.
Right. Well, it's kind of like, you know, this is a poor comparison, but it's like people that go to church versus people that don't. You can still have a deep connection with God whether you go to church or not. That's just a place that you go and put your time, attention, and focus for that amount of time. And grave sites are the same way. So if you're unable to visit a grave site, you can just do it at home. And, you know, there's so many different ways to honor people, from using mom's recipes that were handed down from grandma, or maybe you have an item that you put on a special place on a shelf. Even just thinking of the person helps bring them closer. And, you know, thinking loving and happy thoughts towards them, that's a great way to honor them. They want you to be happy and live your life. And they just get to witness it alongside you.
Now, are they with everybody? Because obviously, when somebody dies, there's a lot of family.
Sure. So the short answer to that is yes. You know, but that's really hard for people to wrap their minds around. Like, how can energy just move in different directions? And for that explanation, briefly, I would say, think about how things travel at the speed of light, how you can travel at the speed of sound or the speed of light. And so they can move that quickly. They can divide their energy. They can take a macro view. So this is where I would say, think in terms of Google Earth. Instead of looking at Google Maps and seeing your own city, if you zoom out and do Google Earth and you can see everybody and everything, or you can zoom into wherever you need to be. And so who needs me the most today? Do I need to really put an impression on them? Do three of them need my energy? I'll split it and send it three ways. That's what I've been shown.
Now, can you get a day off?
As a spirit?
Yeah.
Well, time works different on the other side, so they really don't need that. I mean, they're unbounded, and so they don't have a need to eat, sleep, regenerate like we do. But they do understand our needs. So there might be days that it's better that they're not right up in your business, because that can be a distraction, especially if you have any kind of intuitive abilities and you may not even realize you're tuning in, but you are. So there's times they just want to step back and let us do our thing and not get involved.
So what do they do? Are they just there?
So from what I've been shown, they do learn life lessons from Earth school, you know, so they cross over and they're like, well, I missed that opportunity, or I did that and I could have done it differently and had this outcome. And so they see all the different potentials that were there. And, you know, did they reach their soul growth? And what is your soul growth? It's to get past your physicality and understand that there's more out there and that you ultimately come from the Creator. And, you know, that in order to do that, you have to lose a lot of belief systems and just sit with them and say, you know, I still have a faith in God, but let me drop all of the man-made stuff and let me just focus on one thing, and that's love.
Like you said today, somebody came to you in the parking lot. Right. Now, are they just in the parking lot today?
Well, they were with me and they waited until I took time to tune in. So you'll hear people say, well, don't spirits follow you around all the time? Aren't you bombarded? Don't you? No, because I turn it off. So I knew I was coming in to do the show and I was in a meditative space. And so that spirit came to me and was giving me messages because I was open and ready and I knew I was going to be doing the show.
Now, when did you first realize you had this ability?
I actually didn't realize I had it. I had another medium tell me that I had the ability. So after being professional for 6 years now, I can tell you everybody has it. It's just where you put your time, attention, and focus if you want to develop it. And so I set out to do it, and very quickly I opened and had spirit giving me messages.
What was the first experience you had?
So that's really interesting. I'm glad you asked that. I had someone contact me for an email reading, and I asked my guides and angels to help me with that. And I woke up very early in the morning and had the urge to do what's called automatic writing, where you just write any little thought that comes into your head. And I sat down for an hour, and when I was done and reread it, it was basically like an entire reading where this man wanted to give information to his daughter. So that was my first experience.
Now, if anybody has a question, the phone lines are open and will remain open until 1 o'clock today. So we've got about 35 minutes left. 740-383-9944. Psychic Barbara Wagner is the guest. So if you would like to ask a question, feel free. 740-383-9944. Now, the person in the parking lot, what did they have to say?
So they showed me military service, specifically Vietnam. And they were really actually lighthearted about it, which totally surprised me. This is what I love about channeling spirit, because you never know what you're going to get. And a good medium won't try to make it fit. They'll just relay the message so that the person that receives it gets it. But he was talking about how, even though it was Vietnam, that he did have some good times, and, you know, they tried to keep their spirits up and light. He was kind of a funny guy, so he kind of helped with that. And then he also showed me like volunteer charity service, like he worked with a charity. And that's an awesome thing. And he wasn't bragging about it. It was just a validation. This is something he did. And, you know, you can get a lot of fulfillment from that. Just helping other people is amazing. So he's very happy in spirit. He didn't show me his age or anything else because it was very brief. And the other thing he did show me, unfortunately, was a child getting hit by a car on a bicycle. And that felt like it happened maybe in the 70s, because I was seeing a bicycle similar to what I had when I was young, late 60s. So late 60s, maybe early 70s, that this poor child got hit. And I assume from the way he showed it to me, the child passed.
Now, are you able to see things that will happen in the future?
Well, I don't really practice that way. So what happens during a reading is, you know, my guides and angels can show me different paths for people, and what might happen, because the future is flexible. I did get a few things earlier this year, but I don't normally like to talk about that, mainly because it's negative.
Well, that was it's. Do you ever see negative for people?
So,
like, if you,
yes, but let me rephrase that, okay? Because I don't like to work in that space. So they just show me things. I try not to label it. So I'll say, you know, if you go in that direction, you can expect this to happen. It doesn't feel real good. It might be something you need to learn, but I'm just kind of letting you know that this is a possibility. I like to bring people hope and healing. So negativity doesn't really serve that.
So if I were to say, what will happen to me in the future, what would you say?
Well, are you asking me to read you?
Right, we'll do it.
Okay, so let me tune into your angels and guides here and see what they want to give me. So they're talking about patting you on the back because you've really done a good job achieving what you wanted to achieve in life. And so they're actually proud of you.
And we'll come back to this because we're okay. Going to take the call.
All right.
You're on with Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I don't know how to, like, start this or whatever, but I have a question more than, like, I want to know something, but it's more like a question. But I have this ex, and it's really toxic, and really having a hard time to stay away from it.
Okay.
And to stop talking to him.
Okay, so what is your first name? Or you can give me any name if you don't want to give me your first name, but
it's
Vicky.
Vicky,
okay. So, Vicky, I'm going to tell you, it is very easy to become addicted to drama. And we do that because we get traumatized, okay? So when you're in a trauma, you get drama. And you are on hyper alert, and you get a cortisol dump in your body, okay? And that is like a drug that you get addicted to. And so it's why people have a really hard time stepping away from situations. They mix in there their own feelings of affection for someone, and they are usually staying connected to something they first felt in a relationship before the the toxic patterns started to show themselves. And so you just say, oh, I love this person, and, you know, I don't want to give up on them, and they have good qualities and things like that. But if it's toxic and you know it's toxic, then basically what you need to do is separate yourself and say, it's okay that I have that feeling, but it's not serving me. So I'm not going to honor that feeling by acting on it. I'm going to develop a new feeling pattern, which is, I'm grateful that that relationship showed up in my life because it showed me some things I needed to see. But I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to put myself first, and I'm going to value myself and what my needs are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it makes sense. And
the reason,
it's hard.
The reason I'm, right, but it takes practice, just like anything else. So they're showing me the image of double Dutch jump roping. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not easy to do. The first time you do it, you jump in, and most of the time it gets tangled in your legs. But eventually you master it. So it's something that you have to stay with. And you just have to say each time they try to contact you or you feel like contacting them, this is a dead-end road that's not taking me anywhere. There's no happiness at the end of this dead-end road. That's not where my happiness lies. And so, you know, this is where they talk about some self-forgiveness, forgiving yourself for allowing the situation to continue, and also forgiving them and letting them go with love. So you're not invalidating what you went through. It was something that you did, and that's okay. It's okay. You just need to have a way to move forward. And so you're reprogramming your brain, you're reprogramming your reactions, because you're so used to having a certain reaction come up every time this person contacts you or you think about contacting them. It's that same cortisol dump, that same rush of emotion from, well, maybe this time it'll be a good thing, or maybe it won't, or I don't know. And so there's that excitement. I call it negative excitement, right? Because it's not healthy. So it's not the good kind of excitement.
The first time we were together for 7 years, and then it was really bad, and then we split up, and then recently got back together for 4 months, and then split up again because he found someone else.
Okay, so
but it was based on pretty much, I fell on all lies, but, you know, I just can't still bring myself to stay away from him.
Well, again, I want you to remember that this is an addiction. So that might help you. If you think of him as an addiction, you know, you don't want that in your life. You know, you want good, happy things. So, you know, maybe picture him like a cigarette.
Right.
You know, like, that's an addiction I need to put down because that's not healthy for me. And that's not healthy for your mental space. I want to congratulate you on something. You took him back, but it only lasted 4 months. And so think about how your angels worked to help you so that that relationship would not continue. It only lasted 4 months. You know, I'm glad he found somebody else because, you know, now he's not hurting you. I feel sorry for the person he's with because he's not going to change.
Yeah, because he started his new relationship on all lies, so.
Right, well, but that's what he does because he doesn't have a good self-esteem. If he had a good self-esteem, he wouldn't have to lie.
Yeah.
If he had confidence and he knew who he was inside as a person.
Well, he thinks he does anyhow.
Well, we're spending too much energy talking about him. Right? So
right?
Let's put the cigarette down and let's think about what you need going forward. So more positive interactions. The more you say no to him, the more the universe will reward you. Okay? Because that's how God works. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's retraining your brain, retraining your thoughts, getting in that calm space, realizing you don't need to be addicted to excitement. You don't need to be addicted to drama. Peace is quiet. But it feels boring. When you've been in a toxic situation, calm feels boring. And it doesn't feel safe because it's not what you're used to, but it actually is the safe place to be. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Have a good day.
You too.
And again, if you'd like to call in, Psychic Barbara Wagner is the guest. We'll be here until 1 o'clock every Wednesday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock here on WWGH Radio. Telephone number 740-383-9944. Remember, if the phone lines are busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. And give us a call, 740-383-9944. See, if relationships are done properly, they can kill you. I believe that. That's my new philosophy in life.
That's one viewpoint.
Well, I think so because this is interesting because I don't believe people change.
Well, that's not a fair statement.
No, I think situations change.
Okay. Well,
I don't think people do. Because this boy
right
that she was with,
right?
If there was hope that he would change, then there would be hope. But I don't think he will change because I think his situation might change, but I don't think he will change.
So let me address that. The reason people don't change is because they don't want to.
Right. I don't think anybody wants
to. No, I disagree with that because there are people that do, and they go on to do amazing things. And so, I'm sorry. The man in spirit is actually chiming in, and he's saying that, let me ask him to reword that. He's saying some of the best things are done in silence. So people can go and do things and not tell anybody, and they're good things and not be rewarded. You know, there's an old adage like what our parents used to say that, you know, if you brag about your good deeds, then that doesn't look good in God's eyes. Like, you shouldn't brag about the good things you do, and you shouldn't tell people when you do good things. And he's saying there are people that change and they just don't brag about it. They just don't, you know, so you have to personally witness. And sometimes it takes, you know, horrible events in our lives to get us to change. You know, there are people who are drug addicted that do get sober. And they do go on to lead productive lives.
Why? But I think of that more as a physical change. But I think that person still has an addictive personality. I don't think it'd be good for that person to, for example, alcoholism is obviously the one that chimes in because it is legal to drink. Now, an alcoholic might change. They very well might change and decide that they do not want to drink anymore.
Right.
But if I am not an alcoholic, I might be able to have a drink every night and be just fine. That person, their situation changed. They decided, well, this is bad for me. I can't do it. And they even stay away from taking one drink that I might do every night because they know it will have a bad ending for them. So I think your situation changed. You're not drinking now. But I don't think your philosophy, your addictive personality changed because you fear of taking a drink. You all of a sudden can't control how much you drink.
So we're kind of going down a rabbit hole, but I'm okay with it. I want to talk about the nature, the chemical nature of our brains and how we are actually wired to live our lives in a pattern. And that is kind of the beginning roots of addiction. So everybody can be addicted, and cell phone technology is proving that.
Well, I don't think that if I walked up to a diabetic and said, here, just eat the cookie.
Right.
They will probably tend to want to eat the cookie because it's something they have to deny themselves. Now, they have to make a choice on right whether they're going to do this or not, and it's probably based on the fact of health.
Right.
But I can eat the cookie. I'm not diabetic. They could eat it, but it could have a bad effect on them.
Right, right.
So I think it's your from third grade on, I think your personality is pretty well set. I think you can have variations. I think you become more patient. as you get older. I think you become less driven as you get older because there's just less time left. But I don't think your speech patterns, your moral system, because I've seen people do weird things. They'll have a moral system, and they'll apply that to you. And maybe they hate you, so they keep saying horrible things about you.
Okay.
And then one day they decide they're going to like you. But the next time somebody they feel gets in their crosshairs, it's no longer you because that situation has changed, but they still lash out like they did at you in the beginning.
Right, so that's a pattern.
Yes, and I think we all are in patterns in a way.
So I do agree with that, and I understand what you're saying. But I think we're talking about different areas. I don't want to say levels because that's not really correct. So you have your mental aspect, you have your emotional aspect, you have your physical aspect. So there's all kinds of different aspects that come in. But when you talk about behavioral change and somebody becoming a different person from how they used to be, that is really more mental emotional. Okay, so you are working on yourself, doing self-inquiry or, you know, talk therapy or whatever it is you're doing, and you're wanting a behavioral change to come about because you are now in a different, hopefully better, mental-emotional space. So mental-emotional then goes into what is my physical behavioral pattern? What am I going to do every day that's different? And how am I going to appear to people in a different way? Is it really true to my core? Can I really hold on to it? Because one of the things I think you're alluding to is that people make superficial change, but then they can't hold it.
Well, the question I have never heard, just relating it back to relationships, which the caller was talking about, the question I have never heard answered honestly, and I'm not even sure the people are lying, are purposely lying when they're answering it, but say somebody gets a divorce. And you get in a relationship with somebody who's had a divorce. At some point, you are going to ask them, why did you get divorced? And I've never heard anybody answer that honestly. The common answers are, we grew apart. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
We grew apart. I was involved in things I shouldn't have been. Well, if I say, are you involved in those now? Are you going to tell me the truth? It takes a lot. Once the marriage vows happen, just for the financial, the emotional,
sure.
to leave that.
Sure.
So for that to happen, something catastrophic had to have happened where you say, I can't be in the same house with this person for the rest of my life.
Right.
Growing apart is not a good answer to that.
No, no. And I agree with that. So if details are important, then trust needs to be established so that details can be revealed. And again, you're getting one person's side of it. So, and I am going to say one thing. This may be only what you are seeing. You know, that's a generalization that's being put on everybody, and everybody's not the same. So the type of people that you're interacting with and seeing may be saying things like that, and they may have either trust issues in giving detail, or you're right, there's something they're hiding because they're afraid it's going to look bad. and then they don't want to be rejected. So it really is, honesty is the best policy, because why not get that out of the way first?
Well, don't you think it's people who have been divorced, not all, but I believe the divorce rate among people who have already been divorced is much higher than people who have not. And I think that's some people just, I guess, don't learn the lessons.
I agree. I'm going to say there is a percentage of people like that, you know. And so sometimes they find a partner that matches them beautifully and doesn't require them to change. And then that marriage is the one that will last. And so it's about finding people that are on the same level, I guess.
Well,
You know, that you have the same thought patterns and you beliefs and you support each other and things like that. It's hard if you're not emotionally mature. And we've been talking about this. And so really, people need to grow up. And that's not always easy to do.
Relationships are set up to fail because the first time you meet the person, everybody to some degree is somewhat phony. You dress up a little better. If you're a girl, maybe you wear more makeup. You get your hair done. You wear a dress that maybe you would not wear all the time. The man might dress up a little nicer, wear a cologne.
Right.
Meet at a nice place. Pick up the meal that they're not going to do for the rest of their life. You start out with a phony premise. And a lot, because you're doing that to get what you want, because you would not have went out in the first place if you did not want to go out.
Right.
And then to keep that up will kill you. It'll kill you.
I wouldn't go that far.
Memorial Day people will be visiting you because you can't keep that pace up forever.
Well, people don't. I mean, there's a very teeny tiny percentage, but there are people who are addicted to the beginnings of relationships, and so they will just be chronic daters. You know, and they just like that first rush, and they like that play and that pretend. And so, again, let's talk about excitement. You know, there's a little bit of nervousness and excitement that goes into meeting people for the first time and getting to know them and being around them and dropping your guard finally and trying to trust them. But there are a small percentage of people who like that excitement. And so then when things kind of settle down, you know, then the blush wears off and they don't want to deal with it.
And maybe a safety net. I think a safety net. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Barbara.
Hi, my name is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
I was just kind of wondering if you can help me out, like my future as family-wise, career-wise.
Okay. So specifically family, is that what you're most interested in?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is interesting. So they want you to not rush into things. They're showing me a water slide, and, you know, you climb to the top, and all of a sudden you go down and the ride's over. And then there you're stuck again. So they're wanting you to kind of take your time moving forward. These are your guides telling me that you have a tendency to rush. Has that been your past experience?
Not so much.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm being shown, that you go into something and then whoosh, you take the ride and then all of a sudden it's over and it's, you know, you're left at the bottom not feeling quite so good. So do you have, are you currently involved with somebody?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm married.
You're married. Okay. So that's okay. Let me just ask them why they're showing me that then, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me ask you this question and see how you feel about it. They're telling me that you're still dealing with feeling alone. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to doubt what I'm getting. And so maybe in the days ahead, as you kind of ponder, you know, some of this will start to resonate. But I'm feeling like, where is everybody? You know, like they show me you standing there like, where is everybody? Where is everybody? So maybe you're not getting support that you think you need in some aspect. And so when you say family, are you trying to start a family?
I have three children.
You have three children. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, let me just say congratulations. I mean, that's a lot of hard. Yeah. Three children is a lot of hard work. But they're acknowledging feeling alone, and they're not letting it go. So I'm not sure if you need more interaction from the kids, or you and your husband need some alone time. And they're talking about, they keep showing me like you're turning around and you're looking in a different direction. And it's almost like you have a new place to live, but your house faces a different direction on the compass. It's almost like a turnaround. And that feels supportive. So if your husband gets an opportunity and you guys want to change jobs and move and go somewhere, they're showing me that that is supported. But it's going to feel different. So you're going to have to be ready for new experiences. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, so they're showing me, you know, like a Facebook networking group. Do you do Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. So there might be a networking group you can join either for your area or for local moms or something, where you might get to get more information, get more support, meet other people, because it's almost like they want to shore you up. They want you to have more support in your life. Do you feel like you're supported?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. But they're showing me that you could use more. So, I mean, you asked, that's what they're showing. And I think, you know, maybe there might be things to come that they're not letting me know that you're going to need more support for. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would just look for different ways to connect with people that you haven't in the past. And you might be surprised what comes your way.
All right.
Well, thank you.
And again, the telephone number is 740-383-9944. The guest every Wednesday from 12:15 until 1 o'clock is Psychic Barbara Wagner. So if you don't get in this week, you can call in next week, 12:15 to 1 o'clock on Wednesday. But we do have some time left. We have about 7 minutes left. So if you've been thinking about calling in or would like to call in, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Earlier on, we were talking about pat on the back.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything else in my future?
Yeah, they're showing me some writing. So if you're currently working on something in written form, they're acknowledging that that is a go-ahead, to go ahead and do that, because that's going to take you in a different path, and it's going to be good.
No bad.
No, I'm not seeing that at the moment.
Oh, good.
No, that's what they're showing me. So your angel is talking about how much rest you get. And so your angel's kind of watching over you. So if you need more rest, something to do with rest. If you've made some changes recently and they're working for you, they're acknowledging that that's good. They keep circling rest. So that's just an important thing that you need just at this moment in time. And it feels like a build up, because there's going to be a time where you're going to get super busy. And so it's almost like working on yourself right now, getting yourself together so that when the written thing is done and then you're busy, you know, you can keep up.
Well, it'll be interesting because summer, the official kickoff of summer is this coming weekend. And maybe I'll get a hammock.
There you go.
Hammocks are nice.
That sounds lovely.
Laying outside, just falling asleep.
Right.
It stays daylight until 8:30 now.
Right.
That's nice.
Yeah. Maybe some patio flowers.
Yeah.
Help bring in some little different happy energy for you. That sounds good.
My thought is maybe it's time to retire and become a gardener.
That's good, but what are you going to do with your brain? They're showing me your brain. And so if you're not working on something in the written form, that they're asking you to consider that.
Don't you think, though, there is a good time to stop? I'm not saying immediately, but I think, I guess it's not retire. Retire is not the bad word, right word, but just, you know, you can't keep it up forever.
No, and you should actually honor what your body needs. And if you need downtime, then there's no reason, you know, not to honor that, as long as you can pay your bills.
Yeah. And you love what you do,
right.
And it's enjoyable, but it's not everything.
Well, and so that kind of lends itself more towards the rat race kind of thing where, you know, I'm on the hamster wheel and I'm working to pay bills. And even though I love my job, it's still a lot. And so, yeah, taking breaks are good. That's, you know, why vacations are nice. And even just days where you kind of just don't do a lot can be very restorative, very restorative.
But wouldn't it be great, maybe not a gardener, but maybe a shepherd? Good hours, nice companionship on the farm.
There you go.
You know, it's a very nice thing.
Right, right. Animals can teach us a lot, actually.
I think it'd be great to have a job where you would just be to yourself.
So that's kind of what I do. Last night I was watching a show on permaculture and how everybody can do that in their own yard space. And it's very interesting because it lends itself to self-survival, but you also get to enjoy the earth and the plants and maybe chickens if you go that way mm-hmm. with chickens. And so you get back what you put in, but there's something meditative about that.
I think so, because I do think that people think when you like doing something that you want to do it forever. I'm not sure about that.
Well, it's nice to keep growing. You know, when you want to learn new things, you tend to be more healthy and happy because you're staying inquisitive and curious and you're still engaged, you know, with the world and your surroundings.
Well, and that comes back to the final thing with a couple minutes left about relationships. I do think that the other thing to relationships is not just that feeling when you first are in them, that, you know, adrenaline rush, but the safety. Because two incomes are better than one.
Right.
I think that's a big catalyst for a lot of people's relationships. Because I can't seem to, people can say love. But I don't know.
Well, I think that just depends on your experiences and your perception. I think it's possible to have it all. It's just a lot of times people have certain beliefs, and so energy flows where focus goes. And if you have certain beliefs, then that those are just going to keep getting reinforced because that's what your belief is. And if you aren't actively looking for the other side of the coin, you know. So I've been on both sides, and I can tell you I was not emotionally mature.
Well, I think people can love the idea of being safe.
They can, but that's probably part of it is a holdover from being, you know, raised in a family where you were taken care of. And then suddenly you're on your own and, you know, now you don't like that feeling. So you want to be taken care of again. And those are patterns you're looking to repeat, i.e. the relationships where they marry like their quote unquote mother or father. Right.
And you see a lot of that.
Right. Right. Because that's where they got their emotional fulfillment.
And I think you should do the exact opposite. Marry somebody who's totally unlike your mother or father, because then if you do love that person, then you know it's love, whatever
well,
that is.
Right. I think you have to be careful. If your parents were healthy and they taught you, you know, healthy behaviors like setting boundaries and, you know, how to be independent and helped build your self-esteem so that you are a complete person, then it's okay. To look for similar qualities. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do.
If your parents are people who enjoy long vacations and enjoy parties every Saturday night, I think that transfers if your mate is like...
I agree.
If your parents totally like your mate, I think that's a bad mate.
Oh.
I think that's the truth. I think you can like the person over time, but I think if they, because initially the parents have no reason to like this person. So the only reason they could grow to like this person is because they have things in common. And I think that's a red flag. I mean, you can get along. Well, I do, because I think the people who are married for forever, the people who are married, they always say, oh, my mother-in-law, even after, oh, man, she was something else. You know, I don't think she ever liked me. Well, yeah, the parents really shouldn't like the person because in their mind it's a protective type of thing.
Right.
That you're taking my person away.
Right.
If they like them, they must be buddy-buddy. And that's a bad move because then it's harder to get a divorce later on because then you got to do the whole thing. See, that's love.
Aww.
That's where love can get you. Barbara Wagner has been the guest every Wednesday, 12:10 to 1 p.m. You can call in at any time, 740-383-9944. We'll do it again next week. This has been fun.
Oh, yeah. It's always good to be here.
Thank you. Have a good Memorial Day. We'll be
you
back
too.
In about 10 minutes.
Right. Or Crayon? Oh, American Crayon Company?
Four.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't mean to say